Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you who are worshiping with us online. I'm so glad you are with us this morning as we start the new year off together. Happy New Year. Also, Merry Christmas. It is still technically Christmas until tomorrow on Epiphany. But I hope you all had a wonderful time celebrating Christmas with your loved ones and really embrace that reality in between Christmas and New Year. You know, that week there can be such a blur, where you're like, what day is it? Have I eaten leftovers, candy, cheese? I don't know. You're just sort of like, where are we? There's something about that week I've always thought that can feel kind of, I'm going to bring back the word that Micah loves, that can feel kind of liminal, like this in-between space. It's on both sides of a boundary or threshold. It's like we're on the cusp of something new, one of those moments where we have that impulse to look back and reflect on the year we've just had, to think about the highlight reel of the places we've traveled, the things we've done, the people we've seen, but also we look ahead and we start to make plans and goals. It's this liminal time where we reflect, look back, where we also look forward, and we kind of get lost in the blur of that. What day is it? Especially if you've been home with your kids for 2 weeks on Christmas break, and that's about to get extended. We're just going to keep on keeping on in this liminality. Keep on keeping on. So we look forward to this year. We make plans, we set goals, and we're all asking some version of, as we look ahead, what do I want to accomplish this year? What do I want to accomplish this new year? Proverbs 19, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And the overwhelm of a new year, all the options, all of the plans and hopes and fears that we might have or could have, all the what ifs and the unknowns, it's important to ask us as followers of Christ, how should we approach a new year? So I was already planning to do something different this morning. And now, given the day that we are having, we're just going to embrace this liminal space, this in-between. Yes, it is the first Sunday of a new year. Yes, we're still in the Christmas season. And now we're in the midst of a snowpocalypse. And it is a weird time. And so we're just going to kind of embrace this idea of reflecting and looking back and also looking forward this morning, looking forward to the new year. Simply ask, how should we approach a new year? We're going to read from Scripture this morning from Luke chapters 3 and 4 to kind of help frame us. And if you're worshiping at home with us, now would be a great time to get, if you'd like to celebrate communion with us, you can grab some elements or some bread or whatever it is that you have. You also could get a small cup of water to help with these two moves that we're going to make this morning as we look back and also as we look forward. So we're going to start in the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, because although we could reflect on the year, each of us have had individually, and maybe you've done that this week. Maybe you've done that thing, or if you could say one word that has described the year you've personally had, maybe you've come up with that word, or maybe you can reflect on that right now. It's all a blur to me, but as a community of faith, we can reflect on the move that we made to this space, the provision of God we've seen as we've renovated this space, the mission trip we took to the Dominican Republic. We could reflect on the clout listening session where we had 18 people gather in this space, getting to know a new neighborhood, all these good and exciting and hope-filled things as a community. But our sort of the most ultimate thing that we look back on and remember, and as we're starting and beginning again another new year, maybe the most important thing that we can remember as a community of faith is our own baptism. And if you didn't know, that sometimes on the first Sunday of a new year, churches often celebrate a remembrance of our baptism. So the first move we're going to make is reflecting back, and I'm going to read from Luke chapter 3 now. Jesus helps us make these two moves. So we're going to do a little rundown of Luke 3 and 4, and then Jesus is going to help frame it for us this morning. This is Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Now we read part of this story in the third week of December when I talked about John the Baptist and that call of repentance. Prepare the way for the Lord out in the wilderness, and he was offering a baptism of repentance. Well, if you keep going, it's at the end of this where he says, another one's coming after me, who I will not be worthy to untie his sandals, and he's going to offer you a baptism in water and spirit. And then toward the end of that passage, Jesus does come forward and asks that John the Baptist baptize him. And you're thinking, now why? It's not that Jesus needs to repent of any sin. It's not that Jesus needs to be cleansed in this moment. Why would Jesus do this? Well, it's important that he frames it here for us as a particular moment of preparation. He's preparing for something. And this also, in this moment, solidifies his identity as the Son of God. As the clouds are parted, as the voice of the Father proclaims, as the dove descends, the Spirit descends on Jesus. And this is the moment where Jesus is committed to this plan of God for salvation for the whole world. Confirms his identity as the Son of God. It's a really important moment. Because what happens right after this? Does anyone know? Jesus is, it says this in chapter one, the very next verse, 4:1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, dove has descended, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he's tempted for 40 days by the enemy. He's led by the Spirit. And then in 14, it continues, Jesus, full of the Spirit. Wait, hold on. Yep. Okay, that's okay. We're going to keep going. So now, after that, the first thing he does after his baptism, after he goes in the wilderness and he's tempted by the Holy Spirit, then he comes, and the very next thing he does is he goes to his hometown synagogue, and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah. This is by far one of my most favorite passages of Scripture. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is a very big moment. Another big moment for Jesus as he announces his intent and his ministry to proclaim good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, had his identity confirmed at his baptism. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was sustained in the desert through his temptations. And Jesus, now full of the Holy Spirit, preaches the good news. This is his first sort of moment of public ministry, according to the Gospel of Luke. And he does it right in his hometown synagogue. He goes on preaching and teaching in the next few chapters, calling and sending his disciples, healing. If you were to follow after chapter 4 throughout Luke in his early ministry, all the way until chapter 9, when it says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is about a third of the way through the Gospel of Luke, and we know where it ends, in Jerusalem. This phrase here, he set his face. Jesus is setting his intention. And this phrase will come up several more times in the Gospel of Luke, that he is zeroed in, his eyes are focused, he has set himself toward Jerusalem. full of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus has set his intention to fulfill the plan of God and for him. These are the moves that we see Jesus make in this early part of the Gospel of Luke. So I wonder, as we sit here together, as we take a deep breath and we consider the holy sacred space of gathering, whether you're here or in person, the Spirit binds us together in this moment of worship. I wonder, how will the purpose of the Lord stand in my life and in your life in this new year? To quote from Proverbs, many are the plans in a man's mind, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And as we answer that question this morning, we're going to take our moves from Jesus. To remember first who we are, that as was confirmed at the moment of our baptism. There's one commentator who says this: being God's beloved son fundamentally defines Jesus. Divine love is what motivates and sustains Jesus' ministry of love to those who are hurting. It is divine love that sustains him. It's that proclamation of love that the voice of the Father says, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. And friends, the same is true about you, claimed at the moment of your own baptism. You have been called and claimed as beloved children of God. In you, God is well pleased. And it's that divine love, that outpouring of God's love, that motivates and sustains our ministry, our lives together. Everything we do is in direct response to this love, to this claim, to this call. So our first move this morning is simply to remember. I hope this sounds familiar, because we spent 5 weeks together, 4 weeks together in Advent, asking, how do we begin again? If December 1st, Advent, is the beginning of a new year for us in our liturgical calendar, we asked for weeks, how do we begin again? And we said together, each week we begin with hope. We begin with peace. We begin with joy. We begin with love. We begin with this firm belief that God is with us, now born to us in Jesus the Christ. So we remember who we are as we begin again. You are a blessing and you are loved. This God knows your name. And all of these things were confirmed at the moment of your baptism. Now, maybe some here today haven't been baptized, and that's okay. We can talk about that. You're still welcome to come forward this morning and to remember God's love and grace for you. But I wonder if you can recall the moment of your baptism. I wonder if you can recall the pastor who said the words and prayers over you. I wonder if you can recall who surrounded you, what church you were a part of that committed with you and for you to raise you up in the ways of Jesus, to surround you, to help you know that you are never alone. I wonder if you remember these truths claimed for you. In our liturgy, whenever I invite us to celebrate a baptism, our liturgy says this: brothers and sisters, in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, you are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel truth, that you are forgiven and cleansed and given new life and welcomed into a church family to learn and grow and to become more like Jesus. And the good news is that this is all a free gift of grace. No matter what other people say about you, no matter what you might be tempted to say about yourself, you are claimed as God's beloved child. And now you are called to continue the work of Jesus in the world. So our first move this morning is to remember that baptism and to give thanks for the work that God has done in our lives from that point until now. And that's not to say it's all been smooth and it's all been just like this, up and up and up. Sometimes it feels a little like this. But that baptism sticks. The grace of God is still good. It doesn't expire. You are still claimed, no matter what our lives have looked like, no matter what journeys we have taken. That sacrament of baptism is good. So we remember this morning. We remember that claim that God has made for you. And not only that, but you too, just like Jesus, have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we saw Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, go from his baptism to the desert of temptation to announcing the good news, so you are also full of the same Spirit that's been poured out on you, not only at the moment of your baptism, but every single time we pray here together around this communion table. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that sustained Jesus in the wilderness, the same Spirit by which he healed and announced the good news, is at work in each of us. And we pray in all of our liturgy, and most times we gather, to pour out your Holy Spirit. And so I pray this morning that God would pour out the Holy Spirit on this gift of water, that we may recall and remember the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you, O God, have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in this final victory. Our first move is to remember the truths about you, the Holy Spirit that's been poured out. And our second move this morning is to set our own intention. If Jesus set his eyes toward Jerusalem, if Jesus set his intention to announcing the good news, as in the scroll of Isaiah and Luke chapter 4, so too we have an opportunity this morning to set our intention for the new year. Has anyone made any resolutions? Yeah, has anyone made any goals for the new year? Or maybe like you have a word that you want to like inspire and just sort of theme word for your year? Yeah, some of you have done that. What is anyone, call it out if there's a word.
Motivate.
Motivate?
Redeem.
Redeem.
Trust.
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 Those are good words. Yeah. We set our intention. And it's good to live with intention. As followers of Jesus Christ, we do have a pretty main intention with our lives. And so we invite you now to renew that commitment. And remembering our baptism and now renewing our commitment to follow Jesus. Luke 9 says this, as we keep going in the story of the Gospel of Luke, Luke 9 says this, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Many are the plans in a man's heart, says Proverbs. But it's the Lord's plan, the Lord's purpose that will prevail. We can have lots of plans. We can have lots of hopes. But what does it profit if we lose ourselves in the process? Now, these words sound like it's about finding ourselves and living more intently with the purpose God has for us. That's really good. And it's good to plan, and it's good to dream, and it's good to make goals. My challenge for us this morning is that all of those should be in line with the purpose God has for us in following Jesus. In response to God's mighty acts of salvation in Jesus Christ, in response to the grace given to us at our baptism, we offer ourselves in response, our whole lives, all that we have. Yes, there is a cost to following the way of Jesus. But the work of love, the work of building trust, the work of seeking redemption is never in vain. That work of love is never in vain. So I want to invite you this morning to set your intention. Maybe instead of asking, what do I want to accomplish this year? Because I'm going to be honest, that just sets me up for failure. Because we can make a lot of lists and a lot of plans, and then we get to December 30-something this year, and we look back and we're like, oh, what did I accomplish this year? Was it anything? Yes, of course it was. But maybe instead of asking this question, we frame it of more, who do I want to become? Who do I want to become more like? If we get more of what we look at, Scripture reminds us and encourages us to keep our eyes fixed on Christ, our hearts fixed on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that all of our plans and hopes and dreams and intentions fall under this one of living like Christ and becoming more like Him. This is liberating for me because it actually simplifies a lot of things this time of year. I don't have to add a whole lot of new things. I don't have to become my best self now. I can just do the next right thing in faithfulness of Jesus. And that is enough. That is what Christ invites us to. Not to have it all figured out, not to excel at all of the things and to accomplish all of the things that might be celebrated, but to live simply, to walk humbly, to do justice, to love mercy, and to follow Jesus one step at a time. So we begin this year, hopefully the way we begin every year and every day, walking humbly with God. Jesus shows us how to do this in these moves. Jesus shows us how to receive the gift of this Holy Spirit. And so, church, I want to invite you as we sort of move to the table this morning, we're going to do these two moves of remembering who we are in Christ, remembering the gift of our own baptism. And then second, by setting an intention. And we're going to celebrate communion this morning because we remember that it is that gift of grace given to us, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that gives us all we need to continue on one day at a time, one step at a time. So as we prepare our hearts to approach this table, I'm going to invite you to pray with me in a prayer of confession to just sort of prepare our hearts as we come forward now. And the band can come up whenever. I'm sorry, I didn't pray like I normally do. We meet just as generations before us have met around this table to renew our covenant with God, to set our intention for a new year of following Jesus, and to say, yes, I have decided to follow Him. So friends, as we approach this table, I want to begin with forgiveness. Let us seek forgiveness for the sins by which we might have denied God's claim on us. Let us pray. Your responses will be in yellow. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins now. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow Him, and afraid to bear the cross.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, and our neglect of fellowship in the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation.
Lord, have mercy.
And for the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others. Would you pray with me now? Lord, have mercy on me in your constant love. In the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offenses. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again and strengthen me with a willing spirit. Friends, I invite you to hear the good news this morning. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward each of you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. We are all invited at this table this morning, all who love God and who seek now to live at peace with God and at peace with one another. Friends, every Sunday when we approach this table, we are renewing our commitment to following Jesus. We are setting our intention. And not because we have to have the whole entire year figured out, like I said, but because we do the next right faithful thing week after week in our holy practices of spiritual formation together as a church. And so we approach this table this morning, remembering the story of our salvation and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We approach this table this morning and receive the grace that is given to us, which Scripture says is sufficient for all our needs. It is the grace of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on these gifts that sustain you to live faithfully day after day. It's why John Wesley said we should do this as often as we can. And he was known to celebrate communion as many to 2 to 3 times a week. And so we celebrate it every single week because it forms us in who we are, and it gives us the spirit and the grace and the courage that we need to keep going one day at a time. As we close, I want to invite you to pray with me. This is Wesley's covenant prayer, and you might be familiar with it. I think it's actually 2 slides, but would you pray with me as we close our service this morning? Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Friends, we have decided to follow Jesus, and thanks be to God, his Spirit goes before us and with us. So let's go now from this space and be the revolution. Amen.